flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Today's top story, from the perspective of someone who's there.
You are looking live.
This just in.
Not my beat.
It's the playoffs. You know we have to bring out the biggest of the guns. John Keim is with us from ESPN.com. Don't look at me like that, John. Don't look at me like you haven't been doing this for 30 years, like you've been waiting for this moment.
I don't know how to respond to what's happened because it's been so long and I'm not used to covering a team that, one, is really good and, two, that the rest of the nation seems to like.
And
the fan base isn't divided on anymore. So it's been an unusual experience, but it's been a fun ride for sure.
What's the favorite story anecdote that you've collected over the last couple of weeks? Yeah, I feel like this time of year it's interesting because the team is laser focused on building towards ultimately winning on Saturday night. But in order to tell the story of the season, there's a lot of questions that get asked in press conferences and a lot of reporting that gets done that is very reflective on the season. Like, how did you get here? How did this happen? People are trying to solve that in real time. And I was reading your story earlier this week, and you have the great anecdotes from like the team meetings and things like that. What's your favorite anecdote about this season that you've picked up as you've been trying to tell that story?
Man, I think that's hard because I haven't thought about it yet because there's so much to process right now. But I think it's more, it just depends who you're talking about. Like with Jaden Daniels getting there early in the morning and going through the bubble or in the practice bubble with Tavita Pritchard and Cliff Kingsbury and nobody else there, and it's cold, and you know you're 24 years old and you're showing up at 5:30, but also what you're doing in that bubble, just silence, you know, and you have Kingsbury on the walkie-talkie calling the play, you know, Jaden Daniels correcting certain things that might happen, but also understanding what is going on, like, because you have to, it's not just like, oh, here's a play, it's like, this is the motion, this is the cadence, this is the how the cadence needs to go to get this motion right, et cetera. And he does it right all the time. So like that's something that helps explain his success. Then you look at anecdotes that help explain the quote unquote brotherhood. And you see, to me, like the way Bobby Wagner and Jaden Daniels constantly have, you know, needle one another like it's a big brother, little brother relationship. And, you know, with Bobby Wagner is being interviewed, Jaden Daniels is going to walk by and make some sarcastic little brother comment. And Wagner will just shake his head and see what I mean, see what I deal with, you know, things like that. And you're going back and forth about the NBA. But you have two guys on either side of the ball who, you know, we've seen guys come here in the past, maybe as young quarterbacks or something like that, who maybe don't feel a certain way or feel a certain way where they elevate above the team. And you do not see that here. Like, you know, Jaden Daniels doesn't come in and say, this is my team. And Bobby Wagner's not saying, hey, screw you, I'm the vet, this is my team. It's, this is our team. And I think you see that reflected in their relationship. So, you know, I think with McLaurin, you see it with, he told me one anecdote about, you know, in the Baltimore game, seeing how upset Jaden Daniels was after the game. Now, we know he doesn't show a lot of emotion, but seeing that, he said, really made him actually feel good, because it's just like, I love having a quarterback like that. And then, you know, and he went up to him and gave him some encouraging words. And then, because a week or two earlier against the Browns, McLaurin, or against, well, I can't remember which game it was, where he's not getting the ball as much, but he's getting a little frustrated. And Jaden goes up to him and says, hey, man, just, you know, basically helps him calm himself. Like, that's the kind of team this has. So those are some of the little stories that pop up. I mean, you know, there's a lot of those little things, but like each one kind of shows a different side of this team. And even just talking to a defensive player the other day, and I talked about this on my podcast, but after they give up the game tying touchdown against the Bucks, like, they're on the sidelines very loose after that, unusually loose, because they knew they'd go down and win.
And they sure did, which leads us to this game this weekend. John Keim, ESPN.com. Also, check out the podcast, The John Keim Report. It's fantastic. Must listen if you are a Commanders fan who wants to be in the know. So if we talk about this game specifically, John, like, to me, the kind of thing I keep coming back to, the thing I keep asking everyone, whether they're reporting on the Commanders, reporting on the Lions, is where does the aggressiveness dial go if you're Kliff and the Commanders offense? Because we know it's going to be turned up to 10 for Aaron Glenn, because that's how he lives, which means there's going to be shots, there's going to be big plays available. But on this, we know the formula that worked last week against Tampa was to be very, I don't want to say conservative, but very pragmatic, right, with the offense, control the ball. We know that's an element of this game. So how do you think that aggressiveness dial gets turned for Jaden Daniels, Kliff Kingsbury, and this offense against Detroit?
Well, clearly, this is a team that will take shots when they're available. So if you're going to line up a man-to-man against McLaurin on the outside, they're not going to bypass that to take some 6-yard curl, right? So I think you maintain what you've done, because ultimately, you do have to score points. So possessing the ball is great, but if you don't finish with touchdowns against this team, it's going to be eventually a long day. So I think, you know, but I like what they did last week. I could see something similar where you're controlling the ball through your quick game, and they do a really good job of that. Now, who knows that they want to do that? Well, Detroit. So you're going to set up your blitzes and coverages to basically maybe take that away and see if they have time to get the ball down the field. But I would still expect an element of that, right? Because I don't think you can just go bombs away. That's not their style necessarily, but they will take shots when they're there. We know that. Like, I don't see them changing that because it's their mindset. So I think, like, because you're right, like, Detroit blitzes, I think, according to True Media, it's the second most of anybody in the NFL for a number of, so like that, you're expecting that. And do you have answers for that? And I watched, like, San Francisco scored, what, 38 on them, I think it was. And a lot of it was like 9 yards here, 11 yards here. Then you get the big play. Then you get a big play. Then it's 8 yards here. So you're moving the ball and controlling the ball that way.
If I have one more Lions fan in my comments saying, oh, well, to ask about this man-to-man defense against Justin Jefferson 2 weeks ago, and I have to remind them that Ricky Pearsall had 140 yards on them in week 17, I think I'm going to scream. Because there is a boomer bust element to it with Detroit, and obviously that week 18 performance was phenomenal. Some of the other games I think are interesting this year when you go back and watch them are the Buffalo game, the Indianapolis game, these games where mobile quarterbacks are able to have some success. Mm-hmm. How much do you think they use Jaden as a runner? And do you think that even on the running back design run game, that can maybe get back on track this week after the rough week against Tampa?
It's been a rough several weeks for the running back.
Yeah, so absolutely. I'm not, basically since the Tennessee game. Yeah.
Right. I'm not confident that they get that back to where you need it. Now, we know, like, it's not about using clock. It's about scoring. You can't, if you take 16 plays to score a field goal, they can hit you for 4 plays and a touchdown. you're down 7-3, but congrats, you got the time of possession in your pocket. Like, you've got to finish with points, so or touchdowns. But with the run game, I think you can get that going. I think it has to be effective. Like, to me, if you can just be effective with it, because one of the things you notice in San Francisco is they just bit hard on play action, hard. And that middle of the field was wide open. Now, Alex Anzalone was not playing in that game, a linebacker for them. He is back. He's better in coverage. But it wasn't just one linebacker. It was all of them coming up. So, you know, I think the benefit of the run game is maybe at least selling it maybe a little bit more. I would absolutely incorporate Jaden's legs in there because you have to. He's a weapon for them. Watching, you go back to that Minnesota game, and you're right, like, if you dare bring up that what their stats are over the last 5 weeks, they come out of the woodwork. The problem is when you watch that game, as I'm sure you did, Sam Darnold was not good. Now, some right. of that's on Detroit, but watch the red zone plays in there. It's available. He doesn't see guys. He doesn't throw the ball. He missed guys. So,
and
yeah.
Jefferson had a drop, which Justin Jefferson yes. never has drops. Yeah. He had one that went straight through his hands.
And I give him credit because they did hold him to 9 points. And they did a good job. So maybe even with those, it's not like I think Minnesota wins. I think Detroit's a damn good team. I think they're going to be really hard to beat. But I'm not going to take that game as proof that they hit a certain level. Now, maybe they have. I don't know. But I think the point is there were openings in that game for more. And what you didn't see from Darnold is the ability to threaten with his legs that Daniels gives you. And so I think I think that's a key point to watch in this game. Doesn't mean they're going to have this, all this great success, but I think I'm not taking it that, oh, they've turned around now because of that. I think you have, I want to see him against what he does.
John Keim, ESPN.com, with us here on the Hoffman Show. We will go inside the Lions side of things with Nick Bumgartner from The Athletic here in just a few minutes. But John, obviously, the feature presentation for the Detroit Lions is that offense. It's as good as any in football. It might be the best unit in all of football, averaging over nearly 33 points per game. It's funny when you start doing, you know, as you've done this week, you had John Jansen on your podcast, and you start asking these different people from Detroit or that are national folks, like, hey, what makes them so good? And I thought Dan Pizzuta put it perfectly yesterday on our show. He goes, they're just good at everything.
Yeah.
So if you're Joe Witt Jr., what part of the everything are you trying to limit?
I think for them, I'd say it starts with the run game with Jahmyr Gibbs, because he is so dangerous. And you give him a crease and he's gone. I mean, that's just the problem is, like, they did a good job against Bucky Irving last week. They did a really good job there. And I think that's where the time of possession also helped. But they did limit Irving for sure. Gibbs is a different kind of dude because of the speed and because of the way they create creases for him and angles for him with sometimes wider splits. Just, you know, the action to the play. They give you a lot of the eye candy that creates hesitation in linebackers. And it gets the line to them, and it just creates he gets 3.91 yards before first contact. It's second behind.
That's wild.
It is. So, but you've got to control him. You don't have to have you don't have to hold him at 2.4 yards per carry, but you can't let him dominate you. And I think with Barkley in the second half against Philly, they did a good job. And I know Jalen Hurts wasn't there, but they still had the best line.
Yeah, but it's not like Jared Goff is a mobile quarterback that you're worried about pulling the zone read.
Correct. So they do have some line packages with Newton, Payne, Allen, Jalen Holmes, Dorrance Armstrong, and a bigger group up front that maybe you can get that with and win some one-on-one blocks or at least occupy the double teams a little bit longer and not get moved off the ball so much. Then I think that comes down to how does Marshawn Lattimore look in coverage? And I think we had talked about this earlier this week. Like, he looked rusty to me. And Joe Witt even came out and said he only had the one real practice last week, and he hasn't played two games in a few months. Like, he just didn't look like himself. And where is he at in this game? And how does, because Jameson Williams can take the top, St. Brown is a damn good receiver. Jameson Williams is a scary receiver because he can just beat you over the top. And they do such a good job creating poor angles for defensive backs on some of those crossing routes that it's really hard. So, but I think you have to contain Gibbs and then hope your coverage holds up. But I don't know, Craig, because then I say that, I'm like, well, you've got to stop the explosive plays. one way or another. So is that sitting back a little bit more? And like, you're, if you, if Gibbs gets you 8, 9, 10 yards, you can live with that versus 60 from Jamison Williams. And then just,
well, and that's how they played all year, right?
And hope in the red zone that you hold up. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So,
and I would think because of that, that is how they go, is they say, yeah, like, we're just not going to get beat over the top, which is easier said than done against Jamison Williams, red because zone, he will just, you can be in quarters coverage, the ultimate, like, we're playing a cloud over the top, and he will just literally run right by your guys. It's correct. Gross watching that guy on tape. It looks like it's in warp speed.
If you're a safety and you don't get depth and you're flat footed at all, adios. Because he's gone. Yeah. And it, you know, like, if you're not turned when he's 5 yards from you, he is by you. And again, like, they do a great job on the crossing routes. Watch the deep crossers. Like, they do such a good job. If you're playing a match zone or whatever, and you're handing him off into the zone, and then they have someone else who's going to drive a corner off, but put him in a bad spot to defend the crosser with Williams, and boom, he's just around you. It's just, he's got dangerous speed, and that's what you really have to, you can't let them take the top off you.
This feels mean, but I might, if I was Quinn or Witt, pull up the Miami tape from last year for Washington and then show Quan Martin I felt bad for Quan at the time. Like, why are you putting Quan Martin one-on-one against Tyreek Hill in the slot? That's a design flaw. But be like, Quan, remember what this felt like? This is going to feel, you know, a little slow compared to what Jamison Williams is. Like, well, he's that fast.
He is. And the other difference is, like, how they botched that play, because that was like a basic coverage they used and somebody else was supposed to rotate and didn't. This group is much more aligned with what the coverage needs are, and I think is smarter. So, like, that will help as well. But yeah, I mean, this is dangerous speed, because it's not just Jamison, it's Gibbs with that speed. I mean, I think it's something that this offense could use a jolt of next year, some way, somehow, but it makes them so dangerous.
What kind of chance do you give Washington in this game?
I give them a chance. I mean, listen, if these teams played 10 times, I mean, how many do you think that Detroit would win? 6, 7?
Yeah, probably something like that.
Right. They just have to win. So in other words, they can win one of those games. But the question is, can you? And, you know, did I think they'd win 13 games? No. So why would I say that they couldn't win this game? Now, is it the hardest game they play? Yes, because of the circumstances. You have a 15-2 team at home with a fan base that is absolutely revved up beyond belief, and with an offense that is really hard to stop. So, but if you can get going on offense, listen, Minnesota lost 31-9. It's 10-9 into the third quarter, right? Yep. So if you can keep this game close into the fourth quarter, how comfortable do you think the Lions are going to be if Jaden Daniels gets the ball last?
Not very comfortable. You know, so, and that's the ultimate card for me here. Right. Is like, Detroit's better. They have extended rest. Washington's on short rest, not just 6 days, but 6 days off a Sunday nighter. It's at Detroit. That crowd is crazy. But the better quarterback is going to be wearing burgundy, gold, white, whatever color combination they're wearing on Saturday.
And that's the thing. Like, there's so many, if you look at the matchup on paper and go by position, all that, you know, are you going to say that, oh, this is, it's not an even game? But what you can't, and Detroit has a great, like, all the stuff we talk about Washington, Detroit has it too. Like, they have a head coach who sets the culture of the building, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But sometimes you can't explain what Daniels is able to do and how he's able to elevate. And I think it's not just him, because I don't want to just say it's all about him, but it is so much about him. But the belief they have is different. I've never been around a team that has the belief that this group does. And I don't think they always, like, I don't think this is a group that's happy to be here. Oh, hey, we won this franchise's first playoff game in 19 years or whatever. Like, I think they're thrilled to be here, but they're not content to be here. And so that can be a dangerous drug for a team to have as well. But, I mean, clearly Detroit is the favorite in the NFC. Like, you know, I don't think anybody would doubt that, but is there a formula to beat them? Of course. Of course. Yeah. Like, we've seen, listen, I saw Minnesota 15-1 in the playoffs of 1 year, and like, there's no way they're losing. And they lost at home, you know, because Gary Anderson missed a field goal, right? You see it all the time. I mean, I grew up in Cleveland. I saw it all the time, right? You know what I mean? Like, you
grew up in Cleveland favorites. And then covered Washington for the entire Dan Snyder era.
Yes. So yeah, so like I know how bad breaks look, and you know, do you? Here's the other thing, Craig. Like if I'm Washington, if you win the toss, do you take the ball first? I'd consider it. Yeah, I know that
I consider it, but I'm always a double up after halftime guy.
I get it, but I want to throw that first punch. That would be my thing. And so, you know, is that, I don't know that's the way I would go. I don't know if I'd have the, you know, what's to do that, but I'd strongly consider it because I, you know, can you throw that first punch and get ahead of the pace here? You know, that was, you know, but I like the doubling up at halftime and all that. Because they do so well in the 2 minutes.
If you, John, if you, you get know that what they situation. Should do? They should do whatever they've done all year because that's what Dan Quinn would want.
That's right. But I think, I give them a chance because you just can't put anything past this team. And I think because of the injuries Detroit's had on defense, there's an opening there. Doesn't mean they'll get it, but that's where you have that chance.
No doubt about it. All right. If you want more from John, ESPN.com had a bunch of great stories this week. Obviously, his Five Things I Think podcast will be out that you can listen to on Saturday leading up to the game. That's always one of my game day listens. And then he'll have post-game reaction from Detroit after, both on ESPN.com and on the podcast. John, always appreciate it, sir. Safe travels to Detroit. And we'll be looking forward to all your coverage.
Thanks, Craig. Appreciate it.
All right, that's John Keim with us here on The Hoffman Show. When we get back, it's a real throwback day for me. You know, I was on the beat, obviously, for quite a while, and two guys that I got to work with and that taught me a lot, frankly, as a young guy coming up, were John and Mike Jones. And, well, we had John, and next, The Athletic. Of course, he was with the Washington Post at the time. The Athletic's Mike Jones. We'll talk with Mike not only about this Commanders game, but I feel like we have, because we've been so focused on the Commanders game. Look, we can't go wrong talking about Commanders-Lions with all y'all this week. But, man, that game Sunday night is going to be fun between the Ravens and the Bills. So we're actually going to start there so I don't wind up again shorting that game like I have with a couple of other national folks this week. So we'll talk about the rest of Wild Card Weekend and then very quickly transition back to the Lions and Commanders with Mike Jones next on the Team 980.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app, streaming live on YouTube, too, at the Team 980. Our tremendously loaded Friday guest list continues now with our friend Mike Jones from The Athletic. Of course, covered the Commanders for a long time for the Washington Post, and then he went national. And so it is great to have him talk about not only this Commanders-Lions showdown on Saturday night, but the rest of divisional wild card or divisional playoff weekend. Mike, what's up, dude? How are you?
I'm doing well, Craig. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great. I'm doing something that I haven't done a lot, which is talk about a team. Actually, I've never done ever, not in D.C. I'm talking about a team that's in the divisional round of the playoffs all week. What a time.
Yeah, man, it's crazy. And it's exciting. And, you know, this fan base deserves it. It's been a long time, you know, and didn't think it was going to happen this quickly, but here we are.
Here we are indeed, and we will definitely talk about this game, but I feel like when I've had a couple of our national folks on this week, I want to talk about some of the other games too, and then I go in chronological order, and then I wind up on the Saturday night game and have no time left to talk about it, which is terrible job by me, because what a game that one's going to be as well. So I want to actually start with Baltimore and Buffalo. You have the MVP showdown between Lamar and Josh Allen. We could have seen some of the best quarterback play we've ever seen in a playoff game if these guys just play like they have all season. But is there something beyond those quarterbacks or something about the way either of them plays that you think gives one particular side a big advantage in that game Sunday night?
Well, I mean, I think that Lamar has a little bit more that he's working with. When you talk about the dynamic and punishing running game that Derrick Henry brings, that just puts so much pressure because the defense is worried about, okay, is Lamar going to run? Is Lamar going to throw? Oh, we got to worry about Derrick Henry as well. It would be fantastic for them if they had Zay Flowers, but it looks like he might not play. They've got him listed as doubtful, but they still have some firepower in the form of Mark Andrews, who basically wins any one-on-one matchup that he's got. And Rashad Bateman has kind of come on as of late. You know, again, if they had Zay Flowers, I would say that this thing wouldn't be a contest. It wasn't a contest when they played earlier in the regular season. I think it was week four. They beat the Bills very handily. But, you know, we'll see this time. Now that you're down the road, obviously you're hoping that you progress and get better at things. And we'll see if the Bills have gotten better as they've gotten adjusted to their roles there. I just feel like both fantastic quarterbacks, but, you know, Lamar does it just a little bit better than what Josh Allen does.
Not to mention he's got a few more weapons, like you said at the start of that answer. The other thing that I found interesting about Lamar, and maybe interesting, it's like this isn't rocket science, but teams have seemingly said, we're on the zone read stuff. We're going to attack the running back, and we're going to let Lamar keep it, and we're going to live with those results because the other option is we're shorthanded on the front side against Derrick Henry. And Lamar has just killed teams again and again and again, and especially in the playoffs where quarterbacks have a tendency to run the ball a little bit more anyway. If you are Buffalo defensively, are you trying to mix that up, or are you just saying, like, same thing, we can't let Derrick Henry beat us, and if Lamar beats us with his legs, then I guess that's how we're going to die today?
I mean, it's basically, you know, the same, pick your poison. You know, I think that you have to mix it up. I think you have to try that. You know, you always hear defensive coaches talk about you want to try to make their offense one-dimensional. But when you have Lamar, there's nothing one-dimensional about him. And then you have Derrick Henry, because we've seen in the past where Lamar had to do everything. And then that's why they went out and got Derrick Henry to try to help ease the load. And you can't load up on just Lamar, because then, like you said, Derrick Henry kills you. If you load up on Derrick Henry, then Lamar kills you. And then he's always a threat to throw as well. So it's going to be difficult for them, you know, to try to figure out which one to try to take away, because neither one of them are easy to stop, even when you devote a lot of resources to stopping them.
And then if for Buffalo, like, what's the thing that has to happen for them to win this football game? Is it Josh Allen having another one of those games, or is there a more, like, I would say, non-superhero way that Buffalo can pull this out?
I mean, again, you got to get pressure on Lamar somehow, try to contain him. I think that their defense is, you know, obviously, you know, yeah, Josh Allen's got to play great, got to take care of the football. You know, there are times when, you know, he'll try to, you know, make something happen. But, you know, for the most part, he has been fantastic this year. He's had a couple games where you'd say, you know, he would like to have back a couple performances. But really, they have to limit their mistakes, because they don't have the Derrick Henry to lean on. James Cook is a decent running back, topped 1,000 yards, but it's not anything like what Lamar has in his backfield. And, you know, as far as the wide receivers, the pass catchers go, they don't have, you know, they've got solid guys. Amari Cooper has been nice, has not been dominant. They don't have somebody like a Mark Andrews that you can go to. Their tight ends are good, not his level. So it's going to be challenging for them. So that's why they don't have a big margin for error. They've got to, you know, jump on them quickly. They got to score again, take care of the football, and their defense has got to try to get a takeaway here and there and set them up in decent field position.
Mike Jones from The Athletic with us here on The Hoffman Show. All right, the other, there's obviously four games this weekend. We're going to, all due respect, skip the Kansas City-Houston game, which could be fun, but we only have so much time. So the other non-Commanders game is this Philly-LA game out in Philadelphia. And to me, Mike, I cannot remember a team in recent memory that is more unpredictable than the Rams, a team that at their best can beat anybody, a team that on many other weekends can't beat anybody. What, like, you've governed Sean for a long time. How do you think that they show up this weekend against Philadelphia?
Yeah, look, the last time they played Philadelphia, the Eagles won pretty convincingly. Saquon Barkley ran all over them. I think it was a franchise record, 200-plus yards that he rushed for. Since then, they've done a lot better. They've got a lot of young guys on their defense. They're growing into their roles. But since giving up, I think it was a total of like 300 rushing yards that game. Since then, they've given up. They've held teams to like 104 rushing yards and 17 points a game. So they've tightened up defensively. That's what they're going to have to do. They're going to have to contain Barkley. You're going to have to try to, you know, limit them in the passing attack, which is easier said than done with A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, Dallas Goedert. But we sometimes don't know which Matthew Stafford's going to show up, you know. But as of late, he's done a really good job. I think the last six games, he might have just one interception. He's had multiple touchdown games. So if he can play at a high level and they are able to defensively try to, you know, limit Saquon Barkley, they have an opportunity. We saw them light up the scoreboard against Buffalo. And so the potential is there, but you're on the road. It's probably going to be snowing. It's going to be cold. They're a warm weather team. It's going to be challenging for them. I don't know that this is actually going to be close.
Mike Jones, senior writer for The Athletic, with us here on The Hoffman Show. All right, let's get to the Commanders, Mike. And I'm curious for you, over the course of the season, as you're talking to people around the league, like I know you do, about Jaden, what's the contour of those conversations? Like, what's the story arc for you of Jaden Daniels' season? Because at first, it's like, wow, he's way better. Like, we thought he'd be good, but like, this is crazy. And now there's just kind of this almost inevitability to the narrative around him. And over the last 5 weeks, like, that's how it's been. They've won on the final play of regulation every time. So what have kind of been the contour of the conversations you've had about Daniels this season?
The main thing is his poise, and just the fact that, okay, you knew he was athletic, you knew he could throw the football, but putting it all together in those high pressure situations repeatedly again and again, you know, it was a really weird feeling last week when they held the Bucs to a field goal and they were getting the ball back with time. I don't know when the last time I felt like, oh, Washington's just going to, they've got this thing. And I even tweeted, oh, Jaden Daniels is used to this. But that was the feeling. You knew, okay, they gave him too much time. He's going to find a way to make it happen. Todd Bowles talked about his poise. He said, you know, he's got no conscience. He just goes out there and he does it. He doesn't second guess himself. A lot of people are talking about just the way that he is just unflinching. You see young guys that they seem like, you know, the game gets tight and maybe their body language gets tight. One guy told me, look, he looks the same way in the fourth quarter that he does in the first quarter. It's just a great job of preparing him, studying him, and just he's got something else, this it to him, where you, when you think about Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, they get the ball with 2 minutes left, you're like, okay, they're going to find a way to carry their team. You got that same feeling about Jaden Daniels.
Yeah, and that, like, Mahomes is the guy that I have that feeling about. And whether it's in a couple of Super Bowls or these big playoff games, it's just like, if that dude gets the ball and there is not zeros on the clock and they're within a score, he's going to figure it out. And there's an inevitability to it that is rare. And to already have that feeling about Jaden, like, it's kind of mind-blowing, Mike.
Yeah. Yeah, no. I mean, again, it was weird. I was sitting there. I was talking to Jason Reed, former Washington Post columnist, covered this team a long time. We were here during the RG3 years where there was a lot of excitement down the stretch of that rookie season. But nothing was sustainable. But it feels like this is not flash. This is substance. Just the way that this kid has continued to get better, the hunger that he's displayed, you know, pulling coaches into the film room, picking their brains. And he's got an anticipation. He's seeing openings come open before they're there, and he's delivering the ball on time, which doesn't normally happen with young guys. So those are the things that defensive coaches, when they're studying, they're seeing this, and it's a challenge for them to figure out how to stop a guy who's got that special, that sixth sense there. You know, you try to put some pressure on him, and, you know, the Bucs had what they wanted. They had the defender running right at him. Jaden was fast enough, elusive enough that he got away, got the third down run for the first down, set them up to lock the game up. And he just finds a way, whether it's his arms or legs, and gets it done.
There's so many moments from this year that when they put together the Jaden, maybe even career highlight reel, nevertheless, the rookie highlight reel, that are just so vivid in my mind. Obviously, the first one against Cincinnati, week three, the touchdown to Terry, the Hail Mary, the Kalijah Kansi holding the towel with his hands on his head, just like, I cannot believe that guy got away from me, might be my favorite of all of them from a pure comedy standpoint. That's easy for me to say. I'm not Kalijah Kansi. Mike Jones with us here for another minute or two on The Hoffman Show. The other part that you mentioned within that answer, Mike, that I think is interesting specific to this game is Jaden's ability to not turn the football over. He only had 12 turnover-worthy throws through PFF or per PFF all season, which was fairly low in terms of regular starters. And there's plenty of guys that were regular starters for like half the season. Good quarterbacks like Dak Prescott, who had 16 this season, just for context for folks. But the Lions turn teams over or offenses over at a very, very high rate. Do you think Jaden can continue to avoid the turnover bug against this Aaron Glenn defense?
I mean, he's got to get some really good defenses, and he's managed to take care of the football. So I don't see why he should turn into a pumpkin like Sam Darnold. I guess anything can happen. But
by the way, when you do the old sort on PFF for turnover-worthy throws and you want the high numbers at the top, Sam Darnold is your number one, so perhaps we should have seen that one coming.
Right. Yeah, but, like, this is who he is. He's smart. He takes care of the football. He makes good decisions. It's not like he's playing out of his mind for, like, a three-game stretch. This is just what he's been throughout the whole season. Now, can anything happen? Yes, but he does a good job. I think because he's such a great runner, that he doesn't force things. He understands how to take what the defense gives to him rather than, oh, man, okay, I got to fit this in this window here because he's got an extra weapon in his legs.
That's a great, great point. And by the way, the guy who amongst regular starters has the least would be Lamar Jackson, who somehow just had 8 turnover-worthy throws all season. All right, last question for you, Mike. Instead of a straight-up prediction, one of the big topics on the show this week has been the pace of play of this game. Like, if this is a track meet, if this is a shootout, does that favor one side or the other? Does Washington have a better chance of winning if this game hits the over or the under?
Oh, man. The thing that worries me about them is their secondary. And, I mean, you saw how Mike Evans was feasting on Marshawn Lattimore. Now, they did make adjustments in the second half and were able to take him away there. So Washington can score with the best of them. But I don't think that you want this being a lighted up game, because that means that your secondary is giving up lots of you know, big plays. Now, I feel like if they can keep it close, then, you know, and you get the ball in Jaden's hands towards the end of the game, then okay. But I don't know that you – I think you want balance. I think you want, you know, to be able to churn up some clock, keep Jared Goff and those guys off the field, and not put your defense in such high-pressure situations.
I tend to agree with you, my friend. Mike, I'm sure we'll be talking over the next couple of weeks as Mike is tremendous, one of the most plugged-in guys in the league on all the coaching stuff. So as that news cycles or those news cycles continue to churn, hopefully we'll have you back on the show. But in the meantime, enjoy what many call the best weekend in the NFL. Are you a divisional weekend guy or a championship weekend guy?
I'm a divisional weekend guy. I mean, It's all great, but, you know, because you have these multiple games. Yes, exactly. Yeah. That's what's great.
Well, enjoy your favorite football of the weekend, weekend of the year then.
All right, man. Thank you.
That's Mike Jones with us here on The Hoffman Show. Again, read all his stuff on the games and the coaching cycle in The Athletic. We get back a couple more loose thoughts. I was just texting with Logan in one of the commercial breaks, who you'll hear from at 6:30, by the way. And I was like, dude, I feel like I've been talking about this game all week and there's still 1,000 things that I haven't touched on yet. So I've got so many loose ends that we're going to try to tie before the end of this show. A bunch of them will happen, 6 of them, in fact, in the pick 6 at 6 at the top of the hour. But I got a couple more that we'll hit next here on the Team 980. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We are streaming live on YouTube as well at the Team 980. Maybe squeak in a few calls here, 301-230-0980. Then I also have another thought that I want to get off my chest. And if I don't get it off now, I think it'll fit somewhere in the pick six at six. So let's go to Marcus in Brandywine, who wants to follow up on something that we just talked about with Mike Jones and kind of been talking about all show and all week long. Marcus, what are your thoughts on how this game, like the game script, if you will, and how it'll best play out for the Commanders?
What's going on, Hoffy? So I'm thinking, right, and it's kind of a double-edged sword, so buckle up here with me. I've been preaching kind of all week just that, you know, our defense, if we can get a couple of stops, just two or three stops, that'll probably be the difference in this game. And I'm saying that now because just kind of thinking about the wins and the losses this season, with maybe the exception of that Pittsburgh game, we really, like, our losses were – They were, how can I put it? Like, the teams beat us in fairly favorable fashion. So I feel more confident in the close game. Now, if we do lose to the Lions, and this is a huge if, I don't see us losing by a field goal or two or three points. Like, if we really lose this game, I really, really feel like the Lions, you know, it's more than just a one possession game. And that comes down to those two or three stops that the defense needs to get. You know, if you give up those big plays or you give up those touchdowns and the game kind of gets away from you, not that I don't have faith in Jaden, I just, there's only 60 minutes in the game. He can only do so much within that time frame. So I feel like if this is a loss, this will be a pretty big loss as opposed to like a three-point loss or even a one-possession loss. I'm a little crazy thinking it, but, you know, That's just where I'm at with it right now.
Yeah, I don't think that's crazy at all. And I've kind of said that – I put it this way this week. I don't know why this is the analogy that's in my head, except for – like I could just as easily, I guess, use percentages. But, like, remember a couple years ago when the Wizards almost won the draft lottery and got Victor Wembanyama? Victor Wembanyama?
Yes.
Yeah, that would have –
100%.
That would have been cool. And the way I think we were all reminded in that moment, that terrible franchise altering moment, in the exact opposite way that a franchise can get altered that we've been talking about most of this season with the Commanders, which is, you know, in a good way. But we were reminded that there's 1,000 ping pong ball combinations. And if you think of all the different way that the ping pong balls can bounce for Washington this week, there are probably more than we like to admit that end with Detroit winning in a blowout. That doesn't mean that that's the most likely outcome, but there's probably more than we'd like to admit. Yeah.
Yeah. No. I can agree with you there. Yeah.
But there's also a fairly significant group that ends in a Detroit like 6-point win, and preview of my pick an hour from now. That's around where I think I'm probably going to wind up, unless I can convince myself in the next hour to change it. But somewhere in that range, there's some that are Washington winning a close game, and then there's like the 12th team in the lottery that has a 1% chance of winning, of Washington winning this in a blowout. And that's the, you know, Jared Goff throws 5 interceptions, and unlike Houston, who still somehow lost to the Lions when they got 5 interceptions, that Washington returns 2 for pick sixes, and, you know, they score off the other ones, and it's just a nightmare day that hasn't happened in 2 years for the Lions. Like, the Commanders could win in a blowout that way. Just unlikely. So
it's so many different options. And to that point, it sounds weird. I sent you a DM my name, on Instagram. My name is Marky Mark. I want you to read it, but I don't want you to say anything about it. I'm going to call back next week, and then we can discuss it a little bit more after the game. But it's just a weird feeling that I've been having just because you brought up that last point. I wasn't going to say anything until next week, but because you brought up that last point about that small percentage, I did send you a message. I want you to check it out,
okay,
and then we'll talk about it next week.
Marcus is sliding into my DMs on the radio. I'll take what I can get.
It sounds weird, man, but I was like, you know what? Let me just say it now.
I hear you. No, I'll check it out, Marcus. And folks, if you want to follow me on Instagram, you can at Hoffman.Sports. Marcus, appreciate you, man. Thanks for calling in here on the Team 980.
No worries, man. Appreciate it.
So, yeah, I mean, I think to me, like, the more I've thought about it, there's some funky stuff that I think there are ways Washington can manipulate this game. And as I stare down at my notes here, like, some of these things we're going to touch on in the pick six, because I guess the way I would set it up is this. There's some things that a lot of other teams consider to be kind of gadgets. Things like how they use certain formations or personnel groupings or whatever that are gadgets for them. No huddle is a big one, right? That's a huge, huge, huge deal in this game. But it's not a gadget for Washington. So I think if you're Dan, what you might do this week, and this would have happened on Monday, right? This is not something that you're delivering to the team as like a mindset message going into tonight's team meeting or tomorrow morning's team meeting over breakfast. This is something you would have done on Monday and then Tuesday in the team meeting when the team got back together to say, hey guys, we're going to be the maximalist version of who we are. We're going to go no huddle all the time. We are going, doesn't mean hurry up all the time. We're going to go no huddle all the time, which they almost do anyway. They ran 400 more snaps this year of no huddle than any other team in the NFL. We're going to use some of our personnel packages that we like more than we usually use them. Some things that are maybe side dishes for us on occasion, they're going to be they're going to become more main courses. And there's one big one in particular that I'm going to talk about in the pick six. I'll even bump it up to number one in the pick six accordingly. There's just certain things about us that make us unique that we're going to lean into this week because that's what this game demands. And what we've done all year is we've done what it takes to win the game. We're flexible enough within our own identity to do what it takes to win the game. And so we're going to outline some of those things that Washington can lean on through the eyes of our pick six next on The Hoffman Show.